Hi, and welcome to Late Night with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally, dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation yourself. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our telephone lines are open. You can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And let's go ahead and get our program started here this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Thank you for this venue. We just pray that we could be a blessing, a help, and an encouragement to someone tonight. Help us through the things we talk about to point people to Christ. And we just pray your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what a beautiful day today here in northeastern Ohio, and I know some segments of the eastern United States here got a good bit of sun today. That's kind of nice. It really felt good streaming in through the window here at church and in the car and at home, and just nice to be able to enjoy that for a little bit. And, you know, you get into December here, it gets a little cloudy at times, and it gets cold, and it just gets miserable, but you get a nice sunny day like today. And real pleasant, real enjoyable. And but you know, I think about any day, the Bible says this is the day that the Lord hath made. We should be glad and rejoice in it, because it's a day God's given us to live. It's a day God's given us to praise his name. It's a day God's given us to be a witness and to be a testimony for him. And so for that, from that standpoint, every day is a great day, whether it's cold, gray, and drizzly, rainy, snowy, or whatever, or bright and sunny and warm and pleasant. It doesn't matter. It's a day God's given us to serve him. And I want to thank you for listening to us tonight. And you can always find out more about us, about the program, about me, about our church, the Bible Baptist Church here in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. And just go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And just a reminder that there are previous programs available there. And for those of you who do not get our Friday afternoon program, we're on locally in Northeast Ohio on AM 1220, the word at 1:30 on Friday afternoons for a half an hour at 2 o'clock. And we have it open for questions and answers and all like we do on Sunday nights. But those programs are also available on our website at livewithpastoral.com. You can also find links to our Facebook page and our church page and different things like that. And also you can find links to where you can find us on the air. And if you have trouble listening on the air, maybe the connection or the reception is bad or something, you can always click on one of those links you can either through whkwradio.com here or what is it? I believe it's letstalkfaith.com in Tampa, Florida for 570 and 910 WTBN. You can find them online, and you can listen to our program online. Just go to livewithpastoral.com. You can find all that out. Well, we're going to get into our program today. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, the lines are open. You can call us toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I believe we have Joe on the line already waiting to go. And Joe, welcome to the program tonight. Hi, good evening.
Hey, what's bigger?
Good morning, sir.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
I have two questions.
Uh-huh.
And the first one probably really doesn't matter a whole lot of difference, reality, or anything else.
All right.
But what do you do when you're married twice and you get screwed over three times? What do you do?
Are you married twice? and you're in the midst of a third marriage that's not going so well. Is that what you're saying?
Well, basically, yeah. I just want to know what a cornerstone is when you turn it. Is it a boulder or a brick or a levee or what? I don't know.
I'm not really sure I can answer that part of the question. I do know that, we live in a world where things are not perfect.
Well, I know we live in a world. Everybody lives in a world.
Yeah, it's a world that's not perfect. It's tainted with sin. And one of the things that the devil has tried to do is destroy relationships. And he especially attacks marriages. And there's a reason for it. Bible tells us that...
Well, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. With the language, we're not going to be able to keep you going. Thank you for the call. I mean, we're a Christian program, and I know we can't allow that kind of language. But, we'll go ahead and catch our next caller here. We've got Eric from Youngstown on the line, and we'll go ahead and move on to Eric here. So, all right, Eric, welcome to Live with Pastor Al.
Pastor, how are you?
Hi, good. Well, we're doing well. Live radio, you got to roll with the punches.
Yeah, I know. So I have a question. With a couple of agnostics and atheists, and we discuss things, and you know, it's the same people over time, and sometimes it gets tiresome. And I was looking in Scripture to help me, basically, I know I've read it before, where you basically just, you share what you can, and then after that... If they have a hardened heart, like it's a verse that basically says, "Don't argue, don't waste your energy arguing with fools."
Let me see if I can find that. There's a passage that says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like him." But it's kind of interesting because the very next verse,
26,
I believe,
4,
is
5.
This. Pardon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Proverbs chapter 26. 4, yeah.
That was going to be my question to you. I am so confused about that.
Well, no, I think there's an easy way to see what's going on there. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. And when you look at that part of the question, there are people who try to bait you into foolish discussions, and they're not interested in finding an answer. They're not interested in truth. Perhaps they're only interested in just trying to make you look foolish. They're trying to get you upset or something like that. In cases like that, the Bible says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him." And so you become foolish dealing with that. However, the next verse, verse 5, says there in Proverbs 26, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit." And there's sometimes that somebody makes a foolish statement that has to be challenged, lest the person go away from that thinking, see, I asked these Christians this question, and none of them will answer me. None of them know what to say. And so they go away wise in their own conceit. And those are two similar but really distinctly different situations. See, the one person... is merely asking questions just to mess with you, and you'll never be able to get to an answer with them. The other person is a person who has a question that he's convinced destroys your position, destroys your belief, and you won't answer him because you don't know how to answer and you're afraid of him. And so sometimes that person has to be answered to show, for instance, if God is so good, how come he allows evil in the world? And then you say, well, that's just a foolish question. He goes away saying, well, see, they don't know how to answer that. And they use that. They become wise in their own conceit. Now, you can answer that question. One of the answers, of course, is that God allows evil because in order to be able to choose to do good, you have to be able to choose not to do good. And to choose not to do good is, by definition, to do evil, because evil is actually the lack of goodness, just like darkness is the lack of light. In order to have light, you have to have darkness. If you have light, then you have the opportunity for shadows and things of that nature. And so if you have goodness, there has to be the option for the lack of goodness, which would be evil. And in order for instance, God to create Adam and Eve and give them free choice, he had to give them the opportunity to choose right or to choose wrong. And they could have chose that which was good and obeyed God, but instead they chose that which was evil and they disobeyed God. And so in order to have free will, free choice, there had to be the option for evil in the world. And of course, it gets more complex than that. But generally speaking, the person that says, well, if God's so good, how come he allows evil in the world? How come he allowed Adam to sin? They're not expecting you to answer. They become wise in their own conceit. But then you'll get somebody, you know, when we look at the first verse there, verse 4, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like him. That's kind of like the person that's, well, if God's all powerful, can he lift a boulder that's so, or make a boulder that's so big, he can't lift it? And when you say, well, you know, God is constrained by his characteristics, and they go, then if God can't do that, then he's not all power. And you see what they're doing? They're just trying to trip you up. They're really not interested in anything. Now,
right.
Sometimes it has to be the Holy Spirit to guide you, because it can be different. No matter what you tell the first case, he's always going to have a comeback. He's always going to have an argument, because he isn't trying to find truth. He's trying to make you look bad. And the second case, the person's got a question or something that he thinks is going to trip you up, and he's going to be wise in his own conceit, because nobody answers it. And you know, we have to be attuned to the Spirit of God so that we can understand those questions. We had a Bible study one time, and we had two girls online in our Bible study. And one was asking a question along the lines of if God is good, how come he allows evil in the world? And I answered her. The other girl was just spouting nonsense, nonsensical things, just to be disruptive. And I didn't bother answering her, because I would have been descending into her foolishness. So, you know, it's kind of hard to tell sometimes.
That makes perfect sense. And then can you, just while you're there, mm-hmm. Can you kind of touch on, and I have you on the phone, can you kind of touch on Proverbs 29:9?
Proverbs 29:9?
Yeah, that I think kind of goes along the same.
All right, let me take a look here. Proverbs 29:9 says, if a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. And that's kind of interesting, because, and in fact, the verse before that says, scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. And so there was the wise man dealing with the scornful man and doing something there to turn away wrath. But in the case with the foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. You're not going to get anywhere with them. Whether they're angry and they're raging at you and throwing these things at you, or whether they're laughing and mocking, there's no rest. It's, you know, when children go through the why stage, is there anything more aggravating than to be asked why 20 times in a row about everything? Take this over there and set it on the counter. Why? Well, because it needs to sit there. Why? Because if it doesn't sit there, it can't get. Why? Do you have to ask so many questions? Why? You're not getting anywhere.
So if I've already, we'll say, battled with these persons, then I've done. I feel though, like every time they want to try and contest with me, you know, about their dis or unbelief, I feel like if I don't say anything, I'm not doing what I should as a Christian. But since I've already had this argument more than once, I mean, then according to those verses, from this point on, then I'm not displeasing God if I just don't entertain their arguments anymore.
Yeah, I think sometimes you just have to say, well, listen, we've been over this, and you won't accept what I'm saying. You won't accept what the Bible has to say, so there's really nothing we can accomplish here. I'm reminded of 1 Peter 3:15, where he says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And so we do need to be ready to give answers, but sometimes when we've gone over it, there reaches a point where we just have to say, well, we're not getting anywhere. Right. This is not productive. It's not accomplishing anything. And the fool, of course, wants to keep going with that. I was looking back in Proverbs 29, where we were just a minute ago. Verse 11 says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. So the fool just keeps blurting it all out. The wise man sometimes knows it's time to just not say anything more.
Well, so. Pastor, that's okay. And when I read it, that's kind of what I got. But I wanted to call you and pick your brain about it, and that's perfect. And it's exactly what I needed, and I thank you.
All right. Well, I appreciate that call tonight. Thank you very much. And, yeah, I appreciate your call. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. And I think we're going to give Joe another, we're going to give Joe another call here, another try here tonight. Joe, you're going to have to watch what we're talking about. We can have a productive conversation. I'll try and answer your question.
But... All right. All right. Thank you for talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good night.
All right. Appreciate that.
God bless you.
Thank you very much. And we've got John Cleveland up next. So, John, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. It's been an interesting night.
Yeah. It gets more interesting by the minute.
Well, what you got for us tonight?
I was watching the news today, and mm-hmm. I guess the Senate is supposed to come out with a report saying how shocking the torture was under the Bush administration as far as the Islamics were concerned.
Well, and that's kind of old news. I did not see the report. I guess we'll have to wait and see. And
well, it hasn't come out yet. I guess
yeah,
when it comes
that's what
out.
I said. We'll have to wait and see what happens there. And we'll have to see what their definition of torture is, because I remember discussing this in years gone by where they talked about waterboarding, and I'll just make this statement about waterboarding. I myself have never been waterboarded, but I'll guarantee more U.S. Military personnel have been waterboarded by U.S. military personnel than Islamic terrorists have been waterboarded by U.S. military personnel. I would say that probably just about everybody involved in the special forces has been waterboarded. It's just like police officers with tasers. Before they're allowed to use tasers, they have to experience being tasered. Waterboarding is mostly psychological, really. So we'll have to wait until that comes out, see what they have to say. Because I don't think playing loud music and keeping somebody awake it constitutes the same type of torture as shoving... burning bamboo splints underneath their fingernails or pulling their fingernails off of pliers. That's a different level of torture. So, we can move on from there if you got something else.
Well, I was going to say, I remember listening an interview with, I guess, one of the famous disc jockeys or something allowed himself to be waterboarded. After about 5 seconds, he couldn't take it.
Oh yeah, it activates a survival instinct, and you feel like you're drowning, but you're not in any danger of drowning. It's not like the waterboarding, for instance, that the Khmer Rouge did in Cambodia when they were slaughtering millions. I mean, they slaughtered like a quarter of their population or something in very short order. Anybody that had a college degree, for instance, was killed. And they would tie people down on a thing, and they would literally pour water into their mouths and nose. And that's not what they do when they practice waterboarding. We'll have to wait and see where that comes out at.
I guess my question would be, why would people that would seemingly look very good and pious on the outside be so depraved on the inside?
Well, there's a lot of Muslim terrorists that meet that description exactly there, John. So we'll wait and see what comes out. And got some other callers calling in.
Okay.
So we'll wait on the waterboarding questions until that report comes out. But
okay,
appreciate the
good
call there tonight. Thank you. And we've got another John calling in tonight, another caller named John. And welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al this evening.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Yes, sir. Welcome to the program.
Hey, welcome. I like that you preach the King James Bible, and I like that you're Pastor Musselman preaching the King James Bible and standing up for the King James Bible. And I just like to say for the two Joes that just called, that we say a prayer for them that they might get born again.
Hey, John, let me interrupt just a second there. I think your radio's on in the background. I think I can hear a little bit coming in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you could turn that down, we could hear you a little better.
Okay.
So, but you're asking to pray for somebody who need to be saved?
Yeah, I'd like to pray for the two does that just called it. Sounded like they were drunk and needed to be born again.
Well, Lord knows their hearts, and certainly we do pray, that, and we get unsaved people who listen to the program and even call in from time to time. And yeah, it's our prayer that people who listen to the program would come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Christians who listen to the program will be encouraged in their walk with the Lord and to be a better witness and testimony for Him. And
Amen.
So I appreciate your sentiments there. I know people pray for our callers, and I certainly encourage people to do so.
Amen.
But thank you for that, John, and appreciate that. All right. Well, again, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call tonight if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got a few minutes left in this half hour. We're going to be taking a break in just under 5 minutes or so, and we're going to be on till midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. Again, you can find out more. Go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You'll find out more about the program. You can listen to some MP3 files of previous programs. And also, before we cut away to our break, let me remind you, if you're in Northeast Ohio or you're going to be in Northeast Ohio around Christmas time, let me invite you to join us at the Bible Baptist Church for our Christmas Eve candlelight service. That's 7 p.m. on Christmas Eve, December 24th, at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. You can find the maps and information by going to our website, livewithpastoral.com, or you can certainly Google the Richfield Holiday Inn Express in Richfield. Make sure it's Richfield, Ohio. My brother-in-law made reservations to stay there one time coming up from Kentucky, and his reservations wound up being in Richfield, Utah. And he got to the hotel, and they didn't have a record of his reservation. They got to looking in the system, and there he was, reserved in Utah. They had a room, and they honored it, got him in without any problem. But so if you look for us, we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio, right where the Interstate 80 and Interstate 77 cross. And we'd like to invite you to visit us if you don't have anything going on Christmas Eve. Just take a break, get out, and join with us. We'll be singing some Christmas songs, and we will be going through the story of the birth of Christ from the Scriptures entirely. And by the way, we do have an ebook, The Birth of Christ as Recorded in the Scriptures, available at our website for free. You can find out more about that. Go to livewithpastoral.com. We'll be reading through that on Christmas Eve at our Christmas Eve candlelight service. And then, of course, a time of celebrating and giving thanks and praise to God for blessings from the past year. And then after we break up, we'll spend some time. We have some fellowship and some refreshments, and you know, this is the time of year you get all those good cookies and stuff. So we hope that if you're up here, if you're from out of state and you're visiting family here in Northeastern Ohio, we're easy to get to, almost exactly halfway between Cleveland and Akron, and we'd love to have you visit for our Christmas Eve candlelight service, 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve, December 24th, at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road. Well, we've got just about 2 minutes left before our break. Let me give you those telephone numbers if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. 888-677-9673. And if you get a call here, get a call in right now, you'll be ready to go when we come out of the break. And that's, again, I said 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And I was going to add something, talking about celebrating Christmas. Some people argue about whether or not Jesus was born on Christmas Day, December 25th, or whether he was born a couple weeks later in January, like the Orthodox celebrate. Here's one thing I do know. I do know that Jesus Christ was born. I do know that there was a day when Jesus Christ was born into this world. And that little baby that was born and laid in that manger grew into a young man who lived a perfect, holy life, completely without sin. And that young man became, he was God in the flesh. And he entered into a ministry where he presented himself to an unbelieving world as their Messiah. He was rejected and he was cut off. He was betrayed. He was crucified for our sins. He shed his blood to pay for your sins and mine. He was buried and rose again the third day, victorious over sin and death. And just as surely as he came that first day when he was born, he's coming again one day to receive us unto himself if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Why don't you do so before it's everlastingly too late? Well, stay with us. We've got another half hour. God bless. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll stick with us. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our telephone lines are open. You can give us a call,
888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Also want to mention to you that not only are we brought to you tonight by my home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, but also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio, the home of the homemade pizza. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights has got calzones, strombolis, wraps, sandwiches, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more. You can find East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And if you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And also, if you are interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, either opening up a pizza shop or maybe you've got an existing restaurant or business and you just want to add a line of great pizza to your lineup, give East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights a call at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. It doesn't matter whether you're in Ohio or Florida or somewhere in between. He can help you get set up in your own pizza business. He's got a great recipe. I think the secret to good pizza is a great crust and a great sauce, and he's got both. It's fantastic pizza. I love it, and I recommend it without hesitation. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus if you want to find out more about how you can get into the pizza business yourself. All right, we're getting back to our program, and if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we've got Deborah from Euclid, Ohio, calling in here this evening. Deborah, welcome to the program tonight.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm so glad you're on the radio. I have a question on Genesis 4:16.
Genesis 4:16?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get turned over there.
Okay. Concerning the land of Nod. Now,
right.
Nod was reading the beginning of Genesis, and it said, in the beginning God created Adam and Eve, and then
correct.
Cain and Abel, and then Cain murdered his brother, and then Cain went to the land of Nod. Who, if there was them in the beginning, where did these people from the land of Nod come from?
Well, that's actually really easy to answer. It if you look at the beginning of Genesis chapter 4, it says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, from there, we fast forward to the time that Cain and Abel are adults. Mm-hmm. And during that time, Adam and Eve would have had other children. And those children would have grown up, and they would have, many of them probably by this time, would have been adults as well. Because actually, after Cain killed his brother Abel, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 25, it says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, she said, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew.
Mm-hmm.
And these are not the only three children that Adam and Eve
had.
Well,
I know. They had
right.
hundreds of sons
right.
and daughters.
So these people grew up, and they moved, and they traveled into different areas. And by the time that Cain killed his brother Abel, there were other people living. And
I understand.
That's who was in the land of Nod.
Okay, let me interject.
Yeah.
For some reason in my head, I can't wrap around, if they were brothers and sisters, how could they marry one another without having incest?
Well,
I'm not getting something.
Yeah, no, you're that's a very valid question. People ask that all the time, but you're asking that question now, some 6,000 years or so after this event. Remember, in the beginning, there's only Adam and Eve,
right.
And the Bible says that Eve was the mother of all living, meaning the mother of all human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And even modern science tells us that every single person in the world, no matter where you're from, is the descendant of one specific woman. In fact, biologists have called her mitochondrial Eve because there's genetic material, DNA, in the mitochondria inside of your cells. And they've also shown through the Y chromosome that everybody is the descendant of one man. And that's Adam, of course. Got and it. So science backs up the fact that everybody's a descendant of Adam and Eve. So that makes us understand that we're all married to a relative, okay? Some relatives are closer than others. Abraham,
but in real life, we're not to marry
Well, no, not today.
And
there was no prohibition.
Hundreds and hundreds of years ago, there was no Very good point. No prohibition.
Yeah, not at that time, because that's all there was.
Good point.
And I was going to point out that...
And God okayed that.
Yeah, because that was the only way that there could have been.
Also...
But I was going to... Let me add here. Abraham married his half-sister, Sarah. They shared the same mother, or father. No, I'm sorry. I believe it was the same mother. I may have got that turned around. And the law at the time allowed you to marry marry a half sister in certain situations. It wasn't until after Abraham and Sarah. It was sometime after them. And remember, this is thousands of years after Adam and Eve, thousands of years after Cain and Abel, before prohibition was put on siblings marrying. And now today, because of the curse, our DNA is deteriorating. In fact, there's some great studies that have shown that the rate of the deterioration of our DNA it shows that the human race has only been in existence for probably 6,000 or 7,000 years, less than 10,000. So now the closer that you marry somebody, you know, it's not good for first cousins to marry even now because you may produce offspring that are going to have genetic mutations that'll cause problems, deformities and such.
I got it now.
Yeah.
So, but also, I'm going to call you next time because I have another question, but I don't want to tie up the line because there's other people that want to call.
Well, that's okay. We've got an open line right now. Just let me give the numbers first, and then I'll let you ask your second questions.
You.
And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're still talking with Deborah here tonight, and you said you had another question as
Yes, I heard on one of the radio on the Word, but someone was speaking about, they were talking about, falling away, the falling away. There are two different meanings for falling away.
Okay.
One is it's a past, to say apostasy, but it's called apostasia, and then it's two Greek words. One is apostate, means drawing back from the word of God, and then I can't pronounce the other word, apostasia, maybe?
Apostasia?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's apostasia.
And that Greek word means departure. Now, is the departure meaning that there are people that are falling, which is true, falling away from the church, the word of God? The church is the true word of God because the people are the ones that listen to the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then the other meaning was the falling away, apostate. Does that mean drawing back, that the people are drawing back from the church because the word of God is not good?
The best thing is if you
And also, excuse me, also apostasia, the second meaning when it's a departure, could also departure mean, since we're falling away because the churches aren't preaching the true word of God, so there's a lot of people that there's thousands that are going to the wrong churches, but then the others are falling away from those churches, and then falling away in the Greek for that time means departure, means the rapture too, maybe?
Well, the best way to solve it really is to find the exact verses.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't have it. I was doing housework while I was listening to the word a few weeks ago.
In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, for instance, we have a use of the term falling away.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like Acts chapter 20, verse 30, there's a use of the term to draw away.
Mm-hmm.
And let's start with the first one first. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. And let's see, I guess it's actually in verse 3 here. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away. And that's that apostasia, or
yeah.
Stasia.
Yeah.
And it says, except there come a falling away first,
mm-hmm.
and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, what that one is talking about is in the latter days, you're going to see a departure from the truth of God's word.
Right.
And it's going to characterize the day in which people live. And we see that
right.
today.
Could that departure also mean then we will depart from this world?
No, I think this one here is indicating more a falling away. I think that's a departure from the truth, because later on in that passage, it talks about the Holy Spirit being taken out of the world in verse.
Could that mean the rapture?
Yeah, and I think that gets to that later.
Yeah. We're departing from the church, going into the rapture.
Well, I think in 2 Thessalonians here we have the departure from the truth being a characteristic of the days before the Antichrist is revealed. And it's a day when people who call themselves Christians are departing from the truth of God.
Yes.
You see that in the Laodicean church in Revelation yes. chapter 4.
Yes, you can witness the thousands of people that are going to these prosperity preachers.
Well, yes, that's a mm-hmm. very good example. That's
mm-hmm.
a very good example
right.
because Paul warned about living in the last days in perilous times when people would have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And,
yes.
and that's a falling away from the truth, a departure from the truth,
yes.
Forsaking the truth, I guess you
yes.
could say.
Well,
now, here in Acts chapter 20, a little bit differently here, we have the word apospeo, something like that.
Apostasia?
No, this is apospeo, or apospao.
Apacente?
It's spelled A-P-O-S-P-A-O.
Oh,
and this is where we get this word here. It says, also of your own selves, this is Acts 20, verse 30,
mm-hmm.
also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. In that phrase, to draw away, referring to men preaching false doctrine,
to draw them
drawing
into the
away,
false
that's...
into the false word.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
They're drawing them away
very
from the
well
truth.
Put. Very good.
Yeah.
See,
in the 2 Thessalonians usage, it was a slightly different Greek word, and it was talking about people, falling away, forsaking the truth. In
mm-hmm.
in this case, this is looking at those that have forsaken the truth, drawing others away into
away
their own error.
Into their own, right.
And
right.
see, you could look at this, for instance, and say, for instance, that, let's just say that Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon Church, the
right.
Church of Jesus Christ
right.
of Latter-day Saints,
right.
he fell away from the truth of the Word of God. That would be
mm-hmm.
like in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Well, just like
and I was going to say, now he's drawing away, or at least his followers are drawing away disciples
yeah,
into that.
Like, just like the Pope, when he draws people away from Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone.
Right.
You know?
Well, or how about like he did a couple of months ago?
And about priests. The priesthood died 2,000 years ago when Jesus rose from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you confess your sins, make a total relationship with Jesus
right.
Christ.
Yeah, I was going to say, just like a couple of months ago when the current pope said that atheists will go to heaven as long as they do good works.
Oh, yes, I know.
Now,
he
that's
wrong.
A complete departure from the truth. That's
absolutely.
A falling away like we've seen in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. forsaking the truth, because the Bible plainly says in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are you saved, and that not of works, lest any man should boast. And now he has drifted from
the
truth,
of Jesus Christ.
And then he's
blood.
Trying to draw other people away into the same error.
Absolutely. Well, I thank you. You're fabulous. I'm so glad you're on, and may you and your wife have a very Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you. You have a very Merry Christmas as well. I appreciate the questions there tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Have a good night. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's a toll-free number. We'd love to hear from you tonight. 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And something else I want to share with you here a little bit this evening, too. I was reading a very interesting poll that came out, and I touched on this a little bit on our Friday program, but there's other aspects of the poll that I thought were very interesting. And the part that I had touched on before is this poll indicated that 51% of the respondents believe that the Bible is the actual or inspired Word of God without errors, but only 15% of the respondents thought that it was absolutely or very certain, or I'm sorry, that 21% of the Bible thought the Bible was the actual Word of God, is to be taken literally word for word as true. They almost seem kind of distinctive to each other, but that's because a lot of people profess they believe the Bible is the Word of God, but they in practice, they don't really believe it. And we touched on that a little bit. But what I found in this poll that was kind of interesting is that despite the pressure in the schools and in the popular media and everything, 68% of the respondents believe that they believe that God or some other intelligent force was involved in the origin of human beings. Now, it sounds great at the first when you see that, God or some other intelligent force, but it's that some other intelligent force was involved in the origin of human beings. See, not everybody believes that the intelligence that was responsible for the origin of human beings is God. And you can see that people have mixed feelings on this, because only 41% believe that humans did not evolve from non-human life forms. And see, that can be partly because there's a lot of people out there that think that some alien intelligence was responsible for the origin of human beings. And that can be a very troubling thought. And of course, a lot of times they'll do that to put off the trouble that they run into trying to prove that evolution took place on the earth. There's simply not enough time. Even if you believe the earth is millions of years old, there's just not enough time. And so they put it off by having human life as a result of life elsewhere in the universe. But then the problem becomes, where did that life come from? And if there's not time for that life there, then where did the life that produced it come from? And the truth of the matter is, according to the Word of God, God created all forms of life that we find on the planet Earth. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. We've got Carol on the line. And Carol, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, good evening. Thank you.
Good evening.
My question is from the Book of Judges. I'm sorry, I don't have the reference handy.
That's okay. We'll see what we can do.
It was the story of the lawyer that promised God a sacrifice, and it would be the first person or thing he saw as he returned home from the battle, and it was his daughter. And he sent her away with her maids to prepare herself. And there really is no further mention in the Bible. And I've heard different thoughts from people about what actually happened to her, and Jewish tradition. If you could shed any more light on the situation.
Right, I'm trying to find that verse here in Judges, and let's see here. I'll get to it here in a minute. And as I'm looking for that, He made a rash vow to God. They had a military campaign they were involved in, and he made a rash promise. And there really is a warning in that story that we should not make rash vows or rash promises. And he said the first thing that came out of his house when he returned home, or first thing he saw, we'll get the reference here and we'll look that up, find that. But he said that he would sacrifice to the Lord. And, of course, what happens, but when he comes home, his daughter walks out of the house first. And he remembers the thing that he said. And, it really affected him because he realized the rashness of his decision. But let's see here. I thought I had it here in Judges, but that's the wrong passage. I apologize. I'm just not clicking on that passage right away here this evening. But, the question is, did he actually sacrifice his daughter up to the Lord or not? In fact, he gave her time to go and spend some time with her friends and mourn. The text seems to indicate that she actually was sacrificed, but I've seen people make a good argument that perhaps what he did instead of actually kill her, she essentially, her life was sacrificed in the fact that she lived in her father's house, never allowed to marry. Let's try this one here, Judges, Jephthah. I think that's the guy, Jephthah, here in Judges chapter 11, trying to thumb through this and talk at the same time. And, Jephthah went to fight here. And as we get down further into chapter 11, let me find it here, verse 30, and Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord. I apologize, took me so long to find this, and we're coming up close to the end of the program, but he said in verse 30, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. And some people think that the loophole there was shall surely be the Lord's, and he gave her over directly into the Lord's, to be the Lord's. And she was never allowed to marry. She died childless. I apologize, we're running out of time here tonight.
Yeah.
If you want to look up the story, Judges chapter 11, and start in about verse number 30, she says to her father in verse 37, let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, go, and he sent her away for 2 months, and she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass the end of 2 months that she returned to her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he vowed. And she knew no man, and it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite 4 days in a year. And it's kind of ambiguous. Some people believe that she lived a perpetual virgin. Some believe that she was sacrificed. Hey, I'm out of time tonight. I apologize, but thanks for calling. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Ridgefield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, P.O. Box 452, Ridgefield, Ohio, 44286. Or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenold.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenight.maplenold.us. That's latenight.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 6 p.m. Tune in every week to Late Night with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on WHKW AM, 1220 The Word, and Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN. Late Night Live is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.